Alex, I believe I have reached the equivalent of nirvana.
Tell me more.
Well, I have been sleeping on my cozy earth sheets.
Wow.
And when I get up in the morning, I put on my fantastic jogger suit.
Yes.
Which is a funny way to put it, but you started saying that, so I'm just going to keep on going. And it is opening my mind to things I didn't know I could open my mind to.
Casey, all I have to say is, welcome to the other side.
It's incredible, Alex.
I've lived two lives. One of them is before Cozy Earth, and one is after.
Which is right now.
That's right. We're talking Cozy Earth. They make incredible, soft, lovely, temperature-controlled bedding and cozy wear.
Cozy Earth makes the best clothes I think I've ever touched, that have ever touched my skin.
Casey, I'm right there with you.
It's soft, it's breathable, it's temperature regulated, it looks good, it feels good, which makes it good.
And how about this for good? All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if for some completely batshit reason you don't love these sheets, you can return them.
Now, Alex, right around the corner is Mother's Day. If you haven't already done something, which you should have,
yeah,
now's your moment. Go buy your mom some Cozy Earth, because it is the thing that will help her sleep at night. It's the thing that will help keep her comfortable at all moments of her life. And that's what you want for your mom.
So she isn't up all night thinking about what a disappointment her children are.
Exactly, because they didn't get her Cozy Earth. You don't want to be on that level.
Well, Casey, here's some exciting news. All Completely Arbitrary listeners get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. Again, that's promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at Cozy Earth. So get yourself cozy. Get your mom cozy. Hell, get your dad cozy and your friends cozy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop there, you know?
Make the earth cozy with Cozy Earth.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I'm one of your hosts, and my name is Alex Croson, and I'm alongside
Casey Clapp. I'm also a host. My name is Casey Clapp. This is Completely Arbitrary. Hi.
And just to reiterate, my name is Alex Croson, and this is Completely Arbitrary.
Again, for those of you who just joined us, This is Completely Arbitrary.
Yes.
I'm Casey Clapp. That's Alex Croson.
I'm sitting across from Casey Clapp. My name is Alex Croson. Hi, Casey.
Alex, Completely Arbitrary. Welcome.
How you doing?
Doing just spectacular. I've been zazzing all day.
What in the world does that mean?
Well, as it works out, I am looking to take the next step in my career.
Yeah.
Essentially, what that means is that I'm looking to do all sorts of stuff. And over the last couple days, I've made a lot of big, as they say in sports, a move the ball forward.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a metaphor. If you don't understand, it essentially means progress.
Casey made a first down career-wise.
That's exactly right.
You showed up today. You're very excited. You're making a website for yourself.
Yep. It's going to be a website.
Uh-huh.
I also have been working on some educational opportunities that are going to be coming down the pike.
That's
so
right.
If someone is looking to, say, learn how to identify trees with Casey Clapp, that'll be a thing.
Yeah.
You could also, if you're in town, I'm going to try and develop tree walks, Alex. I don't know if you're familiar, but we have a Patreon, patreon.com/completelyarbitrary.
/arbitrarypod.
Thank you.
Despicable.
I just assume that someone's going to Google it and find it. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Who actually types in www.patreon.com/?
Listen, it's HTTPS.
I'm sorry. So then, so we did a tree trek.
Yeah, we did.
We went where many people have walked before, literally the streets of Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
And so that is not only a beta version of what we're going to be doing here in a second. If you want more of that, go get on the arbitrary Patreon.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I also am trying to like make that happen as like a thing that I do often, so that if anyone wants to come with us sometime, you can come do a nice tree walk with Casey Clapp and Alex Grossman, completely arbitrary, or just Casey Clapp if Alex is like, nah.
This was my question, and we can talk about this off air.
No, go for it.
Do I get a cut?
Yeah, of course.
Of these things.
Well, that's the thing. It's probably going to be tip only. It's like a European walking tour.
Oh, I see.
That's what I want to go with. Just feeling like, yeah, hey, if I did good, give me money. If I did poorly, spit on my shoes.
Can we dress like barons?
Okay, sure. Sounds good to me.
Ah, Northwest 24th and Cooch.
You look like a damned fool. Shut your mouth, Sir Patrick. How dare you?
We can put on a little live art for the people.
Yeah.
They slowly walk away.
Exactly. Well, hey, that's how we get tips.
Yeah. Casey, today we are... congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you,
If you
Alex.
Need any help with anything, holler at me.
You're the best.
Casey, today, in this season of edible trees, we're being little stinkers on this episode.
Oh, come on. No way.
This was one of our... This might work.
What was the label that I insisted we use that you deleted, then I made you put it back in?
The label.
In our organizational...
Oh, Casey, of our culinary delineations, we had fruit, we had nuts, and then we had a third one that you called wackadoodle.
Yeah.
It's still in our spreadsheet.
It still is. You deleted it, and then I was like, what?
I did?
Yeah, and then you put it back.
I'm a little bit of a control freak.
That's
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm a little bit of a control subverter.
Yeah, you're a little bit like the Joker. I'm a little bit like Batman.
You are. I've always thought that about you.
I ain't no cop. I don't work for no cop.
You punch really hard.
I've never punched anything in my life. today, Casey, you and I are talking about the Holm oak.
Yes, we are.
And more specifically, you might think, well, what do you eat that comes off of a Holm oak?
Is it an acorn? What about a leaf?
No, perhaps, not quite.
Perhaps a root, Alex.
No, Casey. Oh. Today we're talking Holm oak and its relationship to the French black truffle.
The scientific name, Tuber melanosporum.
That's the truffle?
That's the truffle.
Okay.
The scientific name for the actual tree we're talking about on this tree podcast is Quercus ilex, the holm oak, or the holly oak.
Okay. Well, Casey.
Pretty delicious.
Let's imagine, as we do every episode, you and I are walking a French countryside.
Mm-hmm.
And we happen upon a stand of holm oaks, a word I learned today.
Beautiful.
And Casey, I ask you to tell me all about this tree and this fungus.
I will do both of these. So as it turns out, this tree grows along the sort of northern, southern, and western edges of the Great Mediterranean Sea. It grows in northern Africa, it grows almost all over Spain and Portugal, and it grows along the coasts of France and Italy.
Cool.
In fact, it does the whole boot of Italy and all the islands in between. So what's cool about this this tree is that it is well introduced all the way up through the British Isles and into probably some places in Germany, though it doesn't really say, so it might be a little too wet or a little too cold in Germany.
Okay.
But this tree is it's of a group of trees that grows in this area that include other evergreen species like the cork oak, which is another one of my favorite. In fact, we almost covered it. We might actually throw it into an extra episode here or there.
That's right.
It's the tree that it actually makes the cork that we use in wine bottles and anything. It's another one of these evergreen oak trees that grows in this Mediterranean climate. Kind of arid, a little bit dry, but enough moisture that you can grow quite a few things.
Now, wait a second.
Yes?
You just said another one of these evergreen oaks.
Yeah.
Is the holm oak an evergreen tree?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I just gave my hand away.
That's amazing.
This is an evergreen oak tree.
Okay.
Of which there are many. It actually turns out that oak trees are probably somewhere between like 50% evergreen and 50% not evergreen.
This surprises me.
Yeah.
So this is an evergreen oak of the Mediterranean coast.
Exactly. There are some 600 species of oak trees, evergreen and deciduous, and this one is a species that grows is like a big round bald tree.
Yeah.
So as compared to like the big oak trees that you think of in like the eastern United States or in like northern Europe, where there's these big massive like single stem trees that kind of pop up and have these, you know, gigantic capacious, you know, canopies and things. These, they grow a little bit smaller, a little bit spindlier when they're first young, and then they end up getting these big circular globe-like tops, only to about 100 feet tall, maybe. Not generally always that tall, just because as they are growing in this drier climate, they tend to go wider than they grow tall often.
Oh, okay.
At least as they start to grow, they grow outwards and then slow their upwards growth. So they kind of slowly grow out and become a little bit wider.
Is that because it's harder to get water vertically rather than horizontally?
I think so. And you generally see it often. And it also is, it's a matter of if you can grow wider, you kind of shade the ground underneath you so you lose less water.
Oh, interesting.
So there's a lot of different things. I feel like I've read an article about this, so I'd have to actually find it, Alex. But it's a common thing where as you go to a more dry environment, the trees don't grow as tall and they grow a lot wider.
That is interesting. Casey, can we talk leaf?
We can. So, as we said already, it's evergreen. And did you know, Alex, ilex, which is the specific epithet for this tree, is the genus name for holly. Correct.
Okay.
As quercus is to oaks, ilex is to holly.
So this quercus is named after another genus?
Precisely.
Interesting.
And the reason is because we, in the vernacular, call it the holly oak or the holm oak, and the holm oak is apparently the ancient way or the ancient name for a holly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that's why we have that name.
Cool.
And it's not named after some person named Holm.
It's not named after actor Ian Holm?
Yeah, it is not named after actor Ian Holm.
Well, this is a great disappointment.
Yeah, he's going to be pretty upset.
Bilbo himself.
Oh, that's Bilbo.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
In the Lord of the Rings trilogy, not the Hobbit trilogy. That is, of course, Martin Freeman.
It also means prickly, apparently, according to my my research here. But it's probably what they called the holly. They're like, yeah, that's a prickly. The leaves are singly borne. They're alternately arranged around the stem of the tree. They are evergreen, not quite lanceolate. They're kind of just short leaves that are pinnately veined, but they do not have any lobes. They look like holly in that they kind of come out. They're kind of wavy the way a holly leaf is.
Yeah.
And then they have really sharp little serrations right at the edge of each one of their, or at the end of each one of their veins. Not every single vein, but most of the veins. They have a little tooth that comes out that's really sharp.
So where the vein meets the margin, there's a little boink.
Exactly. And they're evergreen, and they have really shiny, dark kind of waxy looking top. You flip it over and it's much more muted green, not near as shiny. And that is just exactly what a holly leaf looks like, straight up. Not to mention the bark, especially when it's young, is really smooth and gray the way that a holly is. We actually have one of these trees growing here in Portland in the Hoyt Arboretum, several of them, and they even grow like the branch pattern to me looks like holly. I don't know why. There's no reason that these two trees should have any amount of, like, they are not co-evolving in the same way for the same reason. English holly is from the northern area, and this is from the southern area of Europe. So it's like, why do you guys look exactly the same?
Do you think there's a lot of evidence here. If I were a detective, I'd start to book somebody.
Yeah, might as well, yeah.
Is there any evidence here that that the holm oak and holly are potentially related in some way?
No, they're in Aquifoliaceae, which is the family for that, and then this is in the Fabaceae, which is the chestnut family. The the fruit of one is like a little berry, I think, kind of a poem. It might be a poem. It's close like that.
I think it's a conspiracy. Do think they are related.
I bet you they are, and they just like they've hidden their roots away from each other. Like, okay, build a nut around your fruit, and I won't. We're not going to tell anyone. And they like cut their hands with the saw, and they like shake hands and do the spitter, the pinky, you know, the promise thing that people do.
And someday they'll reconjoin and create a super tree.
The acorn's going to like release like the nut and be like, it turns out I was a holly this whole time.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be like, it's going to be a drama.
Everyone's going to gasp and then go, okay, and walk away.
Okay, cool. Anyway.
Can I say something not about the leaf, but the acorn itself?
You sure can.
Now, a lot of acorns I've seen, as far as ratio of topper to curvy bottom part.
Yeah, the curvy bottom
part. The cup, I'll call it.
I prefer the topper and the curvy bottom part.
All right. You have the topper and
so if you look right here, I need you guys to pay attention, okay? This is some hardcore botanical stuff, okay? We've got the topper. Okay. We've got the curvy bottom part over here. And write that down. It's going to be on your test in the fall, okay? Need you focus.
I'll call it the lid and the cup.
Okay. Wait.
Imagine an acorn. There's a lid and a cup, right?
Hold on.
Oh, my God.
That would be the same thing.
No.
The lid and the cup are the same thing.
No.
What's the cup?
The cup is the curvy bottom, the green curvy bottom part, like the main part of the acorn.
All right, I'm going to let you keep going.
You don't know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, but it doesn't match so the acorn cap?
Yes, the cap is I'm calling the lid.
Yes. Now that is shaped in for all intents and purposes like a cup. Whereas,
is it more cup length than the bottom part?
Yes, the bottom part is a like convex, like elongated spherical thing.
All right,
you could in no way put something inside as a cup.
How about we call it the tip and the foreskin?
All right, let's call it the tip and the foreskin.
Now, usually a lot of acorns I've seen are like 20% foreskin and 80% tip.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
The holm oak is like 50-50.
You think so?
There seems to be a lot of foreskin on this photo that I'm looking at.
What are you looking at?
Holm oak Quercus ilex with acorns.
On what website?
Sciencephoto.com.
Sciencephoto.com. I've never heard of this. Well, the reason I'm questioning is because I'm looking at a different website. This website is called Wikipedia.
Casey, would you lean over and look at this photo that I'm looking at right now? Casey's getting up. He's coming and looking at this photo. He's returning to his mic.
Okay. Yeah, that looks right. I guess it's like 50-50.
Maybe 45-55.
Yeah, I guess I'm just looking at others like and it's very different. It almost looks like a really long horse with like a little yarmulke or something.
if you're listening to this and you have an opinion on the ratio of the acorn, the holm oak acorn, hashtag us, hashtag foreskin ratio.
Yeah, definitely hashtag that with everything that you ever send over to Completely Arbitrary. Anyway, it's a fair description.
Okay.
The acorn is a long acorn.
Yes.
With a somewhat between deep and shallow cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like, you know those old characters. I think it was like the Spy versus Spy.
Oh yeah,
those guys.
Yeah.
You know how they have like those really long pointy faces.
Uh-huh.
Now imagine one of them wearing a Steezy style beanie all the way rolled down and pulled down half their face.
Uh-huh.
It's either that or like two rolls up, so it's just kind of sitting on the top of their head.
Uh-huh.
That's how I imagine. That's what I see when I see these acorns.
Well, we see different things.
We see different things, okay? We see different things. I think that's fair.
I see a penis. You see an old cartoon.
It takes all kinds, Alex.
It sure does.
Well, in this case, the acorns are delightful. They are long, they are pointy, and they turn a lovely, lovely brown. They also take about 18 months to mature.
Interesting.
And so remember how we talked about this other old oak tree called the Oregon White Oak?
I do. Are we about to talk about mast years?
We are not about to talk about mast years.
All right.
But the thing between the two oak trees in relation to their mast years
uh-huh.
is that a white oak family tree would take 1 year in 6 months from the fall or the springtime when their flowers come out to the fall, their acorns mature in that 1 year.
Okay.
And then other trees take 18 months or more, 2 years, in order to have their acorns mature. We generally put that into the red oak group and the white oak group.
Okay.
White oak group, only 1 year, and they tend to have rounded lobes on all of their leaves. Oregon white oak, the English oak, a couple different species of turkey oaks and a bunch of other species.
Red oak, 18 months,
yes.
And pointy leaves?
And pointy leaves, exactly. Alex.
That's kind of a fun ID thing. Just to narrow it down a little.
It at least gets you there, and you're like, well, okay, I know it's this, I know it's this. It's hard to tell the oak, like the acorns, how long they take.
Yeah.
Because you're not just going to sit there for a whole year, completely ignore the leaves, and just watch these acorns for 18 months and be like, that one's definitely a red oak.
Wow.
It's like, well, you could have just looked at the leaves. If you look at these leaves, they are somewhat variable, Alex.
Variable.
Yes. So variable in this case means that the leaves don't always look exactly the same.
Oh, sure.
And they generally have sometimes the younger leaves, and I actually had to look this up because it's an evergreen tree. So the leaves, they age, but as they age, like over a couple years of being on the tree, they don't, or at least 1 year, they're like, yeah, the younger leaves are much more pokey than the older leaves. And I was like, wait a second.
Huh.
How would a leaf, as it ages, become less pokey?
Yeah.
Like maybe it's like a cone, like a tree cone, a pine cone, where the umbels, like they would fall off at some point, or the little arm spikes. But in this case, I was like, that doesn't make any sense. The leaf doesn't just like lose its like pointiness. It turns out what they're meaning is that when the tree is young and it's putting on leaves as a young tree, it's going to be way pokier. And then as the tree gets older and bigger, its leaves tend to become more entire around their margins, where it doesn't have those sharp bits.
Oh, so it like fills in the spaces between the sharp bits?
Yes, aren't near as pronounced.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason for that would be a young tree does not want to get predated upon by a deer, so it's really pokey and upsetting. Same thing for hollies. That's what they do.
That's really smart.
Yeah, they're evergreen leaves, and so they want them to be pokey so that nothing eats them because they need them year after year after year.
I see.
So then as they get bigger and they're way up in the sky and there's no more giraffes over in southern France, they're like, meh, I don't need to worry about it.
I see.
And they get through it.
Well, Casey, this tree has an associate.
Yes, it sure does.
A delicious, overpriced, I think potentially out of the zeitgeist associate.
Yeah.
About which we will talk about after the break.
That's right.
We'll be right back with more Completely Arbitrary. Casey, you know our future is bright.
Yeah, it is, Alex.
But it's so bright, we gotta wear shades.
What?
Casey and I are now putting on our gooder glasses.
Oh, man. I can't see a damn thing.
Hey, they do the job, huh?
These things are great.
Casey, that's right. This episode is brought to you by Gooder.
It sure is right.
That is Goodr. They make fashionable sunnies.
They make fantastic sunglasses. Alex, I got a quick story. When they approached us, I said, I cannot tell you how excited I am about this. They saved me when I was riding my bike across Iowa in Ragbri last July.
Wow.
I couldn't see. I got hit in the eye. So one of my eyes from a week prior would not constrict. It was constantly dilated.
Oh my God.
So I had to wait till it like essentially refixed itself. I ended up needing to wear sunglasses on the entire drive and driving back over, but I had cheap gas station sunglasses.
Yeah.
It was $5 or something.
Yeah.
And they just did not do the job. I was absolutely in hell. And then stopped over at a shop that was there and then picked up a pair of sunglasses and it said it was $25. And I was like, what? These are okay. I'll try them out. I just need a new pair.
Yeah.
All polarized. I put them on my face and it was like the world had changed.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure I cried, Alex.
Casey,
I love these sunglasses.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. They saved me.
That's amazing, Casey. And they didn't save me yet.
Well, the time will come.
The day will come when I need these glasses and I have them. I do love these sunglasses, Casey. And I was telling you before we started recording, my problem with sunglasses mm-hmm. is that I always either buy, like you said, a cheap gas station pair for $6, or I could debase myself by spending $200 on a pair of sunglasses at Nordstrom or some shit. I ain't doing that. Casey, Gooder are the perfect middle ground.
They sure are. Starting at $25, they're all 100% polarized. You can look into water and see through it.
Oh my God.
Which is incredible.
Is that true?
It is. They're polarized. Yeah.
Oh, well, these would be great for fishing, eh?
Exactly.
And they would be great for cycling, working out, golfing, going to the beach, hiking, or just walking around town.
Just doing anything. I rode my bike across Iowa with these sunglasses. People wear them while they are jogging. They stay on your face. They don't bounce. They are excellently made. I cannot recommend Gooder enough.
And Casey, they're pretty cool. In fact, you and I got a couple pairs.
Oh, yeah. What did you get?
Mine are called Hellhound Hallucinations.
Ooh, Alex, I got The Future is Void.
Amazing.
Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar, that's the name of our sunglasses.
Yes.
Not our new catchphrases for completely arbitrary.
Hey, man, you know what I say. Hellhound Hallucinations.
Yeah, he does say that.
And if you want to support this show and try a pair of Gooder, they are giving Completely Arbitrary listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/trees. That's GOODR.com/trees and use code trees for free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's gooder.com/trees and use code trees for free shipping. We'll see you in the future.
Which is void.
And bright.
Yeah, you look good. You look good.
Hey, let me ask you this. You ever taken a walk and just felt inspired? Maybe you discovered your new favorite restaurant or popped into the library and found a book that you really wanted to read, or you're like, hey, I think this car dealership used to be a Taco Bell. Well, there's a podcast about this kind of thing now with comedian and actor Alan McLeod, one of the funniest guys. It's called Walking About. It's a new podcast that treks into the simple joy of walking and its connections to health, history, creativity, and of course, community. In each episode, Alan invites a friend to share a little stroll and see where the sidewalk takes him. Alan McLeod has guests including Mike Mitchell, Spoon Man, Spoon Nation for Life. You got Colton Dunn. You got Janet Varney, Eva Anderson, Whitmer Thomas, Gabrus, Ed Begley Jr., Catherine Spears, Andy Richter, and of course, Burger Boy, Nick Weiger. Some of the funniest people. You know this podcast is going to be an absolute hoot. Maybe you could even listen to it while you're taking your walks. So lace up your podcasting shoes and listen to Walking About out now, wherever you get your pods. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we're talking the Holm Oak and its little buddy, the black truffle.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, let's get into some truffly talk.
Let's do it. Okay, Alex, you're familiar with the black truffle, right? Have you ever had one?
Yes.
You have?
I've never actually... I take that back. Oh. Have I ever actually eaten a black truffle? I don't think I've had... I think I've had things that taste of truffle.
Yeah.
Potentially made with, like, truffle oil.
Yeah, there's a lot that's done with that. That's like, what did Anthony Bourdain, someone said, okay, what's your least favorite food one time? And he said, if I never hear the words truffle oil again, I'll be completely happy.
Yeah, everybody went truffle oil mad for a long time.
They really did.
And I feel like it's falling out of favor a little bit because it's sort of exclusionary.
Mm-hmm.
It's cost prohibitive to cook with truffles.
That is a good point to add to this.
Yeah, do you like truffle flavor, Case?
I do. I think it's delicious.
Okay.
But then again, I just like mushroom flavored almost everything. Especially these, like they're so robust, at least the flavor that I taste.
Yeah, I actually don't when I eat something that tastes like black truffle, I don't feel like I'm eating something that tastes like mushrooms.
Mm, really?
Like a black truffle is like almost separate from a mushroom for me. I don't know why.
That's so curious. And I mean, that kind of makes sense because, of course, they are they are such a unique mushroom that's like what everyone likes about them is that their flavor is not exactly that.
Sure.
You know, it's not the standard cremini flavor that you'd get.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, specifically, I just want to make one clarification. We are talking about what they call the, I think it's Perigord, or in French it might be like Perigold. But we're going to find out. Hold on. Let's see what Emma says.
Perigord.
Perigord. Perigord.
Casey, it seems that Perigord, I'm going to call it Perigord.
Yeah, good. Well, this is a Perigord.
Is a region in France.
It is, yeah. And the reason I want to say that is because there's actually a black truffle that we grow here in Oregon. It grows off of the Douglas fir. And so we actually are a producer of truffles here in Oregon. I think there's two different species that we grow here. And what's cool about that is that, you know, obviously we can, you know, add more to it so it's not quite as, region specific, like, oh, you can only get champagne from the Champagne region,
and right,
that kind of thing. So this is like, well, yes, but you can also get like another kind, like Oregon truffle from Oregon and that kind of thing.
I see.
It's a fungus, just as there's 1,000 different species of fungus of any kind that we eat throughout the world. Same thing with truffles. They've done their thing, not only on the holm oak, but other species have done it on other species of trees.
But the original OG purest form of the black truffle comes from the holm oak,
yes,
in this region in France.
That is precisely the fact.
I see.
So, and this one, it's in this region of France, but of course also in Italy and in Portugal and these places as well.
Okay.
Anywhere that this tree grows, there's also another species that it grows on. A couple other species I've heard, hazelnuts it likes to grow on, sometimes cherries. Mm. But then also they call this one out as a... Oh, the pubescent oak, and I can't remember what that one is, so I'll find out here in a second.
I have heard pubescent in tree terms to mean a leaf has like a little fuzz on it.
Yes.
Is that what this means?
That's exactly what that means, yeah.
Okay.
You know what kind of tree that is? Quercus pubescens.
Oh.
I should have known.
Wow.
I should have known.
That one was looking you right in the face.
It was just, yeah, you know what? If it was a snake, it would have bit me.
Twere a snake, twould have bit thine leg.
Wow, that was very medieval.
Well, I was taking it back to the Baron characters we had earlier.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. So here's the thing about what's cool about this this mushroom. And this is kind of a thing that makes it a little bit different, why I think it's unique to cover here as a fungal associate.
Yeah.
There are two main things I want to talk about with this. One is that it's an ascomycete, which is essentially the same as any other mushroom that you've ever eaten, where it'll put out a fruiting body with spores, and it'll go everywhere, right?
Okay.
However, the other thing about this is that it is underground.
The truffle.
The truffle is underground.
Okay.
And this is a thing that's unique about a lot of different fungus fruiting bodies. The fungus itself, like its body, like the mycelial mats and everything like that, that is normally underground because that's where the food is. That's where it's like nice and moist and it can chill.
Okay.
However, when they fruit, their fruiting body, the mushroom, pops up to the top. Why would they do that? To spread their spores around everywhere. And they're so light and airy that literally the slightest breeze or almost no breeze at all that we could even distinguish, those spores will just go whoosh and float away.
Right.
So why would you want to be underground? How does that spread your spores at all? You're completely blocked by the soil above you. And they're usually, I think, like between 2 to 6, maybe 8 inches underground, so they're not super deep.
Can you help me paint the picture here?
Yeah.
Let's pretend that I am a truffle.
Yeah.
I'm growing on underground.
Yep.
I'm on what, the root of a holm oak?
Yes, you are a, I believe, not an ecto, no, yes, an ecto mycorrhizal fungi.
What does the ecto mean?
The ecto means it's on the outside of the roots. And okay. So instead of an endo basically goes in and finds its way into the root yeah. system, whereas the ecto, it just goes around and it just hangs on the outside and basically puts this sheath around the root. And then the root cells basically sort of say, it's cool, let them in. And then they send their little filaments in and they make these little deals. But it doesn't grow in and completely like have filaments inside the root. It's a sheath with connections inside or between the two.
So let's answer the question, why would you want to be underground as a mushroom?
Yeah, right. So you found a tree. You're a mycorrhizal fungi. So you are dealing with this tree. You're passing things back and yeah. forth. Now, this tree or this fungus is probably the single one of the single most entrepreneurial? Let's say entrepreneurial mushrooms. And the reason why is that it is saying, I'm not going to spread my own spores. I'm just going to make them, but I'm going to put out a very specific scent. It puts out a scent for a pig.
Oh, right.
Specifically, my understanding is that it's a sex hormone, which is why pigs, specifically female pigs, are just like, yes.
Pigs want to fuck a truffle?
They want to find that truffle because they think it's going to get them laid.
Oh, as a gift to their partner?
No. It's just like when they smell that, they're like, whoa, something good's over there.
I see.
So then they smell and they dig it up, and then they're like, oh, well, that tastes delicious, though.
And then they go to the next one. They're like, oh, I smell something promising.
Exactly.
And then they dig it up, and they're like, oh, fuck, it's another one of those.
It's just one of these delicious
black circles.
Things. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. Okay, I smell something over there. I'm going to go over there. And then they just keep doing it and doing it. And then at some point, they're going to be like, man, I'm just full of truffles. I gotta poop. Then it walks over, and it poops. Ideally, it poops around another tree that the black truffle or the Perigord truffle is interested in colonizing.
Hang on.
Blagunk. Huh?
I have questions.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. Sorry.
They're compounding. No. I'm not upset with you.
Oh.
I'm just like flustered.
All right.
Are we talking wild pigs?
Yeah. I mean, historically, or any other animal, like deer have been known to find them, so do dogs and things like that.
And this hormone works on all of those animals?
Yes, like all animals can smell this, most animals. Specifically, dogs and pigs are like the ones that smell it the best.
But, sure.
Like, rodents can find it, and they'll eat it up real quick, like squirrels will go take care of it.
So it's almost like a berry.
It acts
like a berry.
Yes, but without using the colors of the berry. It just uses the scent.
See, so that's interesting.
It smells good to animals. We humans are not as good as we have been historically at smelling things, so we can't really smell it.
Right, compared to a dog, our noses are total trash.
Exactly, they're nothing.
This is really interesting.
Yeah, so it smells really good, and so animals are like, I want to eat that. It smells like delicious food.
Yeah.
So and that's what it does. Yeah.
And then naturally, nature calls.
Uh-huh.
And they poop it out. Where?
Anywhere. I mean, wherever they happen to be pooping, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, you ask a dog where it wants to poop, I'm sure it'll have a lot of good answers.
When you're an animal, the world is your bathroom.
The world is your bathroom. Yeah. And we're animals, Alex.
That is true.
And we would eat it, and then historically, we would poop in our world, and then that would go on the ground somewhere, sometimes in a hole, pre-dug, pre-inoculated, and then covered in the ground. The fungal mycelial then says, woo, starts growing out, finds its way, and makes another connection with another tree, again, like several different species that it grows on. And because it grows on these other trees, then it can find whatever tree works, become a mycelial or a...
mycorrhizal.
Thank you. It becomes a mycorrhizal connection, and then poof, you got yourself another sweet, sweet relationship of the fungus and the tree working together for the common good of each other.
This is very fascinating, Casey.
There's one other thing, Alex. But wait, there's more. I know it's fascinating, and I just want to add one layer of fascination, unless you want to pause and tell me what you think is fascinating so far.
I would like you to add the layer.
It not
ice this cake, baby.
The icing on this cake is that not only does the truffle do several things with several different things, it will shake hands with its buddy, the holm oak, and say, you're cool, I'm cool, you protect me, I'll give you everything you want. You give me some sugars, I'll give you some water, some nutrients, everything's cool. And the holm oak's like, yeah, sounds good. Also, see all these other homies around here?
Homies.
Yeah. Ooh, thank you. That's a good one. Dang it. These are not homies, though. These are just homies who are trying to get in on the other resources that the Holm Oak wants. So the Holm Oak says to its fungal associate, would you mind maybe getting rid of these guys? And so not only does it make a mycorrhizal connection in a positive way with the Holm Oak, it will parasitize the roots of other plants that are growing also in the same region and kill them.
Wow.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That is hardcore.
Yeah, it is. What do they call it? They call it the brûlé, the burnt zone around the tree.
The brûlé?
Yeah. Isn't that the best?
Wow. That is really interesting.
Stunning. It absolutely blew my mind when I learned about this, where these trees, or I'm sorry, these fungus, they will do what they can and help out their fungal-associated tree. They will actively not help other plants that are around create this not quite dead zone, but like this zone where all the other plants are like constantly trying to fight off this parasitic infection by this fungus. And then you got to admit, the fungus is probably taking the parasitized carbohydrates and things from the plants that it's killing and giving it to the tree that is growing over the top, trying to succeed in this rough Mediterranean climate.
That is fantastic. You know, Casey?
Yes.
Sometimes on this show, I mean, you know me. I'm interested in trees.
Yeah.
I have become more interested in trees since being your podcast partner.
Hey, me too.
But, you know, a lot of the time, I learn something about a tree, and then we stop recording, and I move on.
Yeah.
And then maybe I lose probably 65 to 70% of the knowledge I gain in the moment.
Okay,
you know?
Sure, yeah.
And then every once in a while, I'll be talking to a friend. The other day, I was talking to my dad, and we were taking a walk, and I pointed out a pine tree, and I picked a cone, and I showed him all the different little parts of the cone, and
so that's
something that I took with me into the real world.
Yeah,
this is 100% something that I would retell to a friend.
I honestly have to admit the same thing. Not that I forget everything afterwards.
Sure.
I hope I don't. Some of it I certainly do. But there are some things that I have also learned myself just by doing the research for the show.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden being like, no way.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
It's pretty amazing. So this is almost like a lullapathic a little bit.
Yeah, it is.
So let's recap.
Okay.
I'm going to recap and you tell me if I'm right.
Sounds good.
There is a black fungus called a truffle.
Yes.
It grows in a fruiting body on the roots. It is ectomycorrhizal.
Yes, as far as I know.
It grows on the outside of these roots of these oaks.
Correct.
And some other trees. Underground.
Yep.
It has a horny scent. And the animals come and they eat it up and they go poop it out somewhere else. And it goes into the ground and it latches onto another tree.
Yep.
And it not only gives and receives nutrients from this tree, but it actually takes nutrients away from extra special trees.
Yes.
In the surrounding area.
Correct.
That is just so wild. It sounds like science fiction.
Yeah, it is. It totally is. And when you think about like how that life cycle developed, like it actively kills one thing, actively helps out the other, and then seeks out and by like necessity has to get taken by an animal, dug up, and sent somewhere else.
Yeah.
It, like other mushrooms that would do this or other fruit, like they could land on the ground and like be fine and probably keep living, but this one cannot do that.
Right.
It either has to keep growing underground for as far as it can, or it has to get taken away by another animal to spread somewhere else.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And the last thing to note about it is that allegedly, it's delicious.
Yeah.
$2,000 per kilogram.
See.
Do you know what the most, the other ooh, culinary thing that's really expensive that this was compared to that I learned about?
Caviar?
Yes. Beluga caviar specifically, which is not from a beluga whale. because they don't have eggs.
Of course, yeah.
But as soon as I read that, I was like, what is a what is beluga caviar? Just take like a calf of a beluga whale and just like somehow turn it into caviar? It's from a sturgeon, it turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, I think, for beluga caviar, it's like for 9 ounces, it's $1,224, according to this. Don't worry, you get free shipping.
9 ounces, that's about... that's about five or six Don Redwood cones worth.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
If I remember the cone scale.
Yes. Yeah, I think you do. In fact, we could ship that with just one stamp. We don't need any more than one stamp, but it would cost $470 some for 2 ounces.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
Yeah. So the next best thing, because this is a little too expensive, find a black truffle grown off of a holm oak in the south of France and use that.
Yeah. Get yourself a pig.
Yeah.
And well, go walking.
A lot of people are training dogs these days, but I like the idea of the pig. I think that's
more practical.
Just, it's so much more old school, like have this old farmer, you know, walking through his, you know, acorn or an oak patch and just have this gigantic pig, because they'll also eat the acorns and get like nice and fat on the acorns, and then you got a delicious fat pig.
Have you seen the new movie Pig?
I have not. I didn't even know there was a new movie that's called Pig.
Casey, I haven't seen it either, but we might consider watching it. In fact, we probably should have watched it before this episode. It stars Nicolas Cage as a truffle hunter.
Oh.
And he has a famous pig. And guess where he lives?
Where?
Portland, Oregon.
What?
It's about like the Oregon, it's about the Portland like culinary scene in some
time
frame.
Yeah, let's definitely watch it. Is it out right now? Can we stream it?
I don't know if we can stream it. I believe it's in theaters.
I love Nicolas Cage.
Casey, as you know, this season, we are teaming up with some chefs for a few of these food items.
That's right.
I refused to find somebody to cook something with black truffles because they're so exorbitantly priced.
Yep. It's you said earlier, it's exclusionary.
Yes.
Because of that.
Yeah, exactly. It's cost prohibitive for many, many people.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, a special couple shavings on top of some pasta would be good.
It's supposed to be delicious, right?
But, yeah, but that's not necessarily like a dish around the truffle.
True.
And so we're not doing a recipe for this. We are, however, as always, going to give our review.
Yes, we are.
Of the holm oak and a secondary review, an associative review for the black truffle.
Ah.
How about that?
Excellent.
Casey, here's how it works. You and I are going to give our final thoughts on this tree and this fungus, and give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden Michelin cones of honor.
That's right.
We're going to abbreviate that to golden cones of honor. Casey, as our resident expert, we begin with you.
All right. So here's the thing. This is a nice tree. I like evergreen trees. Having said that, the tree's okay. You know, Alex, it's fine. I think evergreen trees are nice. I love them. I think they're beautiful. I like this one because I think it also has really beautiful leaves. I'm a big fan of these like holly looking like leaves. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of touching them because they look pokey, but not all the time. But man, that dark green glossy thing to it, I just think they look so nice.
Yeah.
I like their acorns. I think their acorns are the perfect amount of pokey. I think their length to cap ratio is delightful.
Those weren't the terms we agreed on.
Sorry, I can't remember the terms, Alex. And the bark is just okay. In fact, I don't really like the bark. I think the bark's kind of ugly.
Okay.
And I was reading something, and they said the bark is black. And then when you look at the picture, it's very clearly green. Look at this. Look at it. Look at it.
That's green bark.
Yeah.
Could that be moss?
Yeah, it could be. But why take a picture of green mossy bark and then say the bark is black?
The caption on that photo of it, green moss bark, says it's black.
Exactly. Yeah. So overall, I think this tree is great. It doesn't get very big. It doesn't do a whole lot. It's got a great amount of potential. However, it's underutilized. So that's going to give it some points. But because this is Michelin star, I think that its relationship co-opting a fungus to do its dirty work for it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. This one's going to get a 7.9.
Wow.
A little high, you're right. 7.6. 7.6.
Just from my reaction.
Yeah, 7.69.
7.69.
Yeah, that's right, because I just think it's great, and I want to give it more credit so that when people look at the show and inevitably make big time decisions and say, looks like the most popular tree that they covered this week is going to be on this one. Everyone start planting these trees so we can sell them in 10 years.
You want to reverse engineer the popularity of this tree.
Correct. Yeah. That's I want it to get better. But that is just for the potential that I think it has. Otherwise, honestly, probably a 5.5 if I was just giving it straight up. If I was sitting there underneath it right now and I was like, there's a dime a dozen. I've seen them everywhere.
It's a 5.5 tree.
Yeah, I think it's a 5.5 tree. I think it's a 5.5 tree with the potential to be a 7.69.
So it is a 7.69 canonically on the show?
Yeah.
Okay. And your review of the black truffle.
Oh, I really like the black truffle. I think the truffle things are delicious. Mm-hmm. I really do. The truffle oil, I'm into it.
Okay.
Having never had a truffle like myself, like you cut one and then like eat it, you know?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that would be. I'm going to give it an 8.8.
Wow.
The reason it gets such a high score is because it does the dirty work and it doesn't even get caught. It stays underground the whole time.
Yeah.
Talk about a gangster. Whew.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's like some...
check and mate.
That's like some underground mafia shit.
Yeah, exactly
what it
is.
Pulling the strings from behind the scenes.
Yeah. The tree is like, I need your help, man. I can't do it without you. And the mushroom underneath is like, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse because it captures its own thing. The tree's like, I wasn't going to refuse anyway. Please, I just need this.
You're not refusing, I tell you.
You're not refusing. And then he goes and like breaks the ankles of all the other grasses and small shrubs around. Yeah. And then co-ops a pig to eat it.
All right. I don't know what that averages to. Let's just not say there's an average.
Yeah, let's say the average is good.
Yeah, that's a good average.
Alex, I know you have opinions. I want to hear what they are.
Okay. Holm oak first.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's an all right tree.
Okay.
I like its overall morphology. It's got a great shape to it, Case.
Yeah, it's got a great shape. Honestly,
I love that hemispheric sort of look.
It's a nice term.
It's very storybook. It's very film production company logo.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
One Tree Films, you know.
Alex, is that our production company?
Absolutely not.
Yes, it is.
We're Arbitrary Media, Case.
Yeah, no, that's our... Okay, yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't know if I love the idea of its leaves. I like an oak tree because it's soft, it's welcoming. This does not seem like a welcoming tree. It's like if you tried to climb it, you'd poke the shit out of your skin. Mm-hmm. The acorns make me laugh a little bit. They're kind of funny. That gives it some points. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I am going to give the Holm oak. I also like that canonically it's named after Ian Holm.
Yeah, which is a stunning fact for me. I mean, it's clearly on the Wikipedia and everything.
And it's a great kind of hobbit-ish tree. It looks like it belongs on top of Bag End.
You think so?
On the hill.
All right, I can see that.
Sure, put one right there on top of Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
It's a good-looking tree.
All right. It is a good-looking tree.
I'll give it a 6.8, Case.
6.8 for this guy.
Yeah, maybe a 6.79, actually.
Ooh, 6.79. Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's
just under 6.8.
Yeah, I think that's a good rating.
I think it's, a little above right in the middle. The black truffle. I'm a little truffled out.
Yeah.
I've just had too many truffly things, and now whenever I eat truffles, I'm like, ugh, it tastes like dirt. I'm a little over it.
Mm.
I'm going to give a black truffle, I don't know, like a 5.0.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Yeah.
I like that. Poor things.
Well, Casey, that was our review of the Ian Holm oak and the black truffle.
I'm so hungry now.
I'm starving. I'm just hungry, though. I'm not hungry maybe because of this episode.
I'm going to go get some truffle fries.
That sounds great.
All right.
I might make some steak frites tonight.
Hey, there you go.
Case, it's time for a game. And today is a very special day because usually I am the game master.
That's right.
And you are the contestant, Casey. Precisely. At my request. Today, you take it away.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Treeperty. Now, I'm going to introduce our contestants. We have Alex Croson out of Portland, Oregon. Alex Croson is a podcast producer. He also tends to write music, perform it, and do other cool things as well. Alex, welcome.
Thank you, Casey. It's great to be here.
Now, we all know the rules here, so this is Jeopardy. I'm going to give you a couple different questions, and each question will have a couple different categories here. Uh-huh. Now, can we get a readout of the categories? Okay, you got it. Category number one, leaf me out of it. Category number two, dendroterminology.
Ah.
Category three, forest giants.
Hmm.
Category four, legend tree. Category five, American sitcoms.
Can you explain what the third and fourth categories are?
Yes. The third one is forest giants,
right?
And it is giants in the forest naming area. So perhaps it is a naturalist or some other person who has done something.
Popular figures in environmentalism.
Yes, exactly. And mostly those who have been related to the, quote, discovering of trees. I say that obviously with air quotes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because they certainly didn't, but they did bring it to light in the sense of a European sense.
Okay. And the legend tree?
Legend tree, that is trees from legend.
Oh, fun.
Or perhaps a book of some kind.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Excellent. Alex, are you ready?
I'm ready, Casey.
Oh, I'm sorry. In the last one, I should be more clear. It has nothing to do with trees.
Right.
I believe that it was requested,
not
by you, your agent, said, could we do something like American sitcoms that I can know that I'm going to nail.
Yeah. I just wanted one category that I could really crush.
That sounds good. You're going to crush all of these categories, Alex.
Thank you, Casey.
Now, of course, these are all answers. You must respond with a question. What is, who is, are they?
Uh-huh.
Those kinds of things. And then it starts, of course, from 100 to 500.
Fantastic.
All right. We will start.
I'm gonna chime in with a boop if I know the answer.
I think that sounds good. I think you need to do that. Okay, which would you like to start with?
Boy, can I take legend tree for 200?
Legend tree for 200. That sounds good. These are trees who walk and do things slow if they're worth doing.
Boop.
Alex Croson.
What are Ents?
That's correct.
Nice.
That's 200 points.
All right.
Well done.
I get paid for this, right? Like the real contestants?
Yes.
Okay.
$200. These are dollars? Shoot.
Can I take... It's our most expensive project yet on this podcast.
Alex, the board's yours.
Can I take American sitcoms for 400?
American sitcoms for 400. Oh my God. That's our double Jeopardy.
Wow.
All right, now, Alex, for this double Jeopardy question, there are two answers. If you get both answers correct, you will double your winnings.
Okay.
So this is 400.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Do I have to bet anything?
Do you do that?
I think you bet whatever you have.
With double Jeopardy?
I'm gonna make this a true double Jeopardy. I'm going all in.
You're going all in. Wait, he's betting $200 on this. All right, here we go. Now remember, there are two answers to this, okay?
Okay.
These titular characters are voiced by the same actor.
What are Archer and Bob's Burgers?
You got it, Alex. Right. Well done. All right, so you get your 200, you multiply 200 by 2, which is now 400, plus that was worth 400 double Jeopardy. That's 800.
Wow.
Well done.
H. John Benjamin.
That's right. So you are at now $1,200, Alex. Congratulations. Looks like the board is up to you.
Casey, remind me the first column there?
The first column, leaf me out of it, Alex.
I'll take leaf me out of it for 300.
Leaf me out of it for 300. All right, here we go. Leaf me out of it for 300 is a question. That question is neither broad nor needle-like.
Neither broad nor needle-like?
Dot, dot, dot. Sorry, Alex, you didn't answer in time.
What was it?
It would be scale-like.
Oh, scale-like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, looks like because you were the last one to answer, it goes back to you.
All right, Casey. I'll take leaf me out of it for 200.
Leaf me out of it for 200.
I want some redemption here.
This describes a leaf's edge that is sharply toothed.
Boop.
Alex.
What is serrated?
That's correct. Well done. There's 200.
I'll take dendroterminology for 300.
For 300, shooting for the stars. The vascular system of a tree under the bark.
Boop.
Alex.
What is cambium?
That's correct. Cambium. That's 300.
Wow, I feel like a genius.
You are a genius. That's a 5, 6, 7. You're at $1,700, Alex. Congratulations.
Oh, wow.
All right. Next one. Table's yours.
I'll take Forest Giants for 300.
Ooh, Forest Giants for 300. All the 300's taken. His namesake has caused several deaths.
His namesake has caused several deaths. Boop.
Alex. You can say just the last name.
Oh, who is Menzies?
That is incorrect. The answer we were looking for was Nicholas Coulter.
Nicholas Coulter.
Nicholas Coulter.
Oh, the Coulter Pine. That bastard. That widowmaker.
Alex, looks like you're the last one to answer the question. Goes to you.
I'm going to try Forest Giants again for 400.
Forest Giants for 400. Well, who needs two in 100s? Though his name is scientific, many consider it common also, though that is wrong. Boop. Alex.
Who is Menzies?
Incorrect. The answer we were looking for was probably also Nicholas Gary.
Those are so hard.
Well, Alex, it's worth 400 points. What am I supposed to say?
All right.
So that was in reference to in Washington, in Vancouver, they call it the Gary Oak. And the scientific name is Quercus garyana, though it is in fact the Oregon White Oak. And anyone who calls it a Gary Oak, sadly, has been misled.
That's a good answer.
Thank you. Alex, back to you.
I'll take dendroterminology for 100.
Oh, there we go. Start from the bottom, make your all way up. Here we go. This is the technical term for an apple or pear.
Boop.
Alex.
What is a poem?
That's correct. 100. All right. Next one.
I like these easier ones.
Yeah, yeah. Let's try those 100s.
I'll take dendroterminology for 200, Casey.
Okay, for 200. Here we go. A word neither of us can seem to pronounce.
Boop.
Alex.
What is allelopathy?
We're going to... Okay, the judges say that's okay. That'll work.
That's one of the six that we've said in the past.
Yeah, what's one of the ways?
Allelopathy.
Allelopathy. Back to you.
I'll take leaf me out of it for 400.
Leaf me out of it for 400. Also, please, everyone who's playing, tell us what you get.
Yeah.
Just to be clear. Leaf me out of it for 400. This pigment is responsible for photosynthesis. Alex.
What is chlorophyll?
That is correct. 400. Okay. All right. So you're at a good old 27 points.
I am really enjoying myself. We need to do this all the time. I understand now why you get so excited when we play games.
You're doing great. Yeah. It's
a thrill ride.
I know. This is putting you to the test.
Are we doing all these?
Yeah. And then we can edit them out as we want.
Okay. I'll do American sitcom for 100.
American sitcom for 100. Alex, let's see what this one is. The answer... After this show, coffee shops became the place to hang.
Boop.
Alex.
What is Friends?
That is right. For 100, Alex now has 2,800 points and the board.
I am going to go dendroterminology for 500.
Dendroterminology for 500. Answer. This kind of tree only has male or female flowers or sex organs, but not both.
Boop.
Alex.
I know it. I swear I know it. Hold on. Can you ask the judges if I can have like 10 more seconds to think?
The judges say yes.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. 5 more seconds.
Oh, my God. Well, all right.
Sorry.
I know of a specific tree that does this.
What tree?
A ginkgo.
A ginkgo. Yes, that's right. Correct. Yes.
But what is it called?
Monoecious.
Monoecious.
Monoecious, Alex. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I couldn't get gymnosperm off my brain, which is not that at all.
No, that is 100% incorrect.
Yeah.
All right. Back to you, Alex. You're bored.
All right, Casey. I will take dendroterminology for 400.
Here we go. And wipe the board clean. Answer. This kind of cone stays shut until fire opens it.
Boop.
Alex.
What is a... fire adapted cone?
That's correct, but the term we're looking for is serotonous.
Serotonous. I would not have gotten that.
Yeah, that's why it's worth 400.
That's a good one.
All right.
Okay, I'll take leaf me out of it for 500.
Leaf me out of it for 500. Alex, answer. A maple or ash has this kind of leaf arrangement.
Maple or ash.
Boop. Alex.
What is palmate?
Ooh, no. It's actually all opposite. Opposite
arrangement.
I don't know. Do you get negative points for the ones you get wrong?
I think so.
Oh,
you lose however much that was worth.
Gosh, you've lost now. You're at 1,800.
Yeah, I'm probably.
There's another one you got wrong, but we're just going to give it to you.
I think I'm in the negative.
Here. No, you're not. No. You're at 1,800 right now. That's pretty good.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
I'll take Forrest Giant for 100.
Forrest Giants for 100. Answer. He died in a pit trap in Hawaii.
Boop. Who is David Douglas?
That's right.
I knew that David Douglas would be the 100 answer.
Sorry.
I loved it. No.
All right.
I knew I was going to get it right. Forrest Giants for 200, Case.
Forrest Giants for 200, Alex. Here we go. The scientific name of Douglas fir is named for him.
Boop.
Alex.
Who is Menzies?
That's right. Archibald Menzies for another 200. All right. You're at 1,700 now. This is pretty good.
And that scientific name, of course, is Pseudotsuga menziesii.
That's exactly right.
Casey, I'll take that fourth column that I can't see for 400.
Legend tree for 400.
Legend tree.
This tree has not been seen by any muggles.
Any muggles. Boop.
Alex.
What is the Whomping Willow?
That's right. For 400, you are now back in the twos. 2,100 points, and the board's yours.
I'll take Legend Tree for 500.
Legend Tree for 500. Wrap that one up. Almost. This tree ends a stump after a life of sacrifice. Boop. Alex.
What is the Giving Tree?
That's right. The Giving Tree by the skin of your skinny skin skin.
I'm going to edit it like I got that right away.
you bastard.
All right. Can I take Forrest Giants for 5?
Forrest Giants for 500. Here we go. Answer. His taxonomic system is the standard binomial used today.
Oh, God. I don't remember who that is, but I know what a binomial is.
All right. Well, that doesn't get you anywhere, Alex.
You have to wait for the timer to run out.
That was Carl Linnaeus.
Carl Linnaeus. Good guy.
Yep. So that, sorry that you did.
Oh, Linnaeus. Yeah, I've heard Linnaeus. Yeah.
2,100. Alex, only a few more.
I will take Leaf Me Out of It for 100.
Leaf Me Out of It for 100. Answer. This is the edge of a leaf.
Boop.
Alex.
What is the margin?
That's correct. All right. I did pretty good
on that column or on
that
category.
You really did. I think that's probably your best category so far. You did miss the maple leaf arrangement, so you have almost an aggregate of no points there.
Went even. All right.
Yeah, great work.
I'll take Legend Tree for 100.
Legend Tree for 100. Alex, here we go. With carved eyes, these trees see and can allow one to see through them.
Boop.
Alex.
What is the weirwood?
The weirwood is correct. Alex, you have one more opportunity. Final Jeopardy.
Wow. Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Everyone, this is our final Jeopardy category. Birch, please. Here's your question. Elon Musk has been searching to try to find the best carbon capture technology in the world. This carbon capture technology has been shown to be the most effective at reversing climate change. You have 30 seconds.
I think we should play the entire song.
Tree Jeopardy is brought to you by... Alex, welcome back. Pencils down. What is your answer? Again, the question is, this carbon capture technology has been shown to be the most effective at reversing climate change, and Elon Musk has been searching for it for many years, allegedly giving away billions of dollars in the search.
I wrote trees.
He got it right, Alex. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It turns out trees are the most effective, and if Elon Musk just invests billions of dollars into getting trees planted, he would succeed in his endeavor. Alex, you just made out with $4,600. Congratulations.
Wow.
You're this week's winner.
Thank you, Casey.
Wow, that was incredible.
Can I come back for the next one? I get to compete again?
You get that automatic thing.
Yeah, great.
Congratulations, Alex.
Casey, wonderful job. That was Treeperty. You know what?
Are you ever going to let me come up with the name of the game again?
1,000%. Actually, I was in the shower this morning. I was like, I wonder what we should call the Jeopardy segment we're doing later. I was like, we could call it Treeperty.
Oh, I'm so happy you thought of that. Well done.
Well done to you, Casey. That was a tremendous amount of fun.
I had a great time. I have to give Hannah some credit. She helped me last night when we were doing Wing Week.
Oh, great.
We were sitting at the bar drinking a beer and eating wings while trying to come up with good questions.
That's fantastic. Well done, Hannah. Well done, Casey.
Well done, Alex.
Thank you very much. Casey, it's time for our completely arbitrary Q and A. This week, our question is from Hannah Gargrave. Hannah writes,
"Hi, Hannah.
Hello. Big fan of your podcast. In the last couple years, I've gotten into disc golf, and the course closest to where I live in northern Wisconsin is just loaded with massive old red and white pines that are really scraggly looking. Okay. A lot of the trees right off the tree pads, and in the fairways always get hit by launched discs to the point where the bark is scarring on the one side. Yeah. What effect does this constant beating on the trees have on their health and the health of the whole stand? Here are some picks so you have a better idea. Happy frolfing."
Happy frolfing, everybody.
Thanks, Hannah. Hannah, thank you so much for your question. Mm-hmm. Case.
Yes, sir.
What do you think? A tree gets beat to shit with little divots.
Yep.
Over and over and over and over every single day of its life.
Exactly. Yeah. You really hit it on the head there, actually. It's a wound on the tree many times, but with certain trees, they have thick bark, right?
Yeah.
So around here, one of our favorite disc golf courses is covered in Douglas firs. And every single thing, right off the tee, all the trees around are just peppered. Like, they look like they've just been shot with a shotgun or something. Just,
yeah.
You know, everywhere. They're just covered. But they're always, like, horizontal because the discs are being thrown usually somewhat horizontal.
They might look like lenticels.
They kind of do, yeah. And so what it does is each time you hit the bark, most likely the bark is going to be fine because it's usually pretty thick, especially on the white pines and the red pines.
Sure.
But as you do that over and over, you chip it off bit by bit, by bit, by bit, by bit. So if that happens, you know, maybe 100 or 200 people come through, 500 each day, and a quarter of them hit the tree, times that by every year, times that for however long the course has been there, you're going to get thousands upon thousands of hits.
Mm.
And each one of those is going to maybe break off the bark a little bit. If it keeps doing it faster than the tree can put on new bark, then the tree is going to, at one point, there's going to be not enough bark that a disc is going to hit it. It's going to go into the bark cambium, and then it's going to cause a wound on that tree. Whether it's a small wound or a big wound, it's a wound that somehow something could get in there. Some kind of fungus could infect the tree through that big wound. Or if it happens enough, it could kill off that entire side of the tree. So it's not a good thing, but if it happens and the tree is really thick and it's just not getting through like a gigantic old thick trunk, then the tree's probably going to be like, whatever. It's not really going to care too much.
Okay.
As long as there's enough bark there over the entire course of this. If, on the other hand, it's a thin bark tree and it just gets smashed over and over, then I've actually seen trees completely fall over because they've been hit so much. It kills that cambium layer because it just nicks it, and then that whole layer becomes kind of disjointed, and then it just dies. So when that area dies, then the tree is now putting more effort into covering over that wound with its compartmentalization. And then once that happens, now the tree is working really hard. It's not growing to protect itself. It's not growing as much as it should because it's putting more energy towards building more wood.
Yeah.
And then you end up basically creating a tree that is stressed out.
Okay.
Then that could really hurt it. So a lot of times what people are doing is they're putting either like a kind of semi-rigid plastic mesh around the trees. That way if a disc hit it, the plastic kind of reduces the surface area. It doesn't hit the bark directly. The disc would hit it, slam into it, and then not really go through the plastic. So the plastic creates like it spreads out the pressure of the actual strike.
Okay. It's like your open palm slapping the tree instead of hitting it with an axe.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, other people are doing, they're like strapping on 2x4s around it. So you have like these vertical 2x4s on the leeward side, the discward side of the tree.
Uh-huh.
And that, it doesn't look near as nice, but you're not going to get through a 2x4 in a long time. And if you do, good for you. It was a pretty good idea to have it there because you were going to go through the tree's bark anyway.
And then you just replace it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not good for the trees overall. Most trees that are big and tough that have thick bark, they'll be fine. If they don't have big, thick bark, they will not be fine, and you very well could kill them over time, or at least really slow them down so they're not growing very healthy. I saw a larch just keel over one time. It was just poor thing.
So those trees are probably being set back a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say a little bit.
Overall.
And as on the overall stand, probably not a big deal because only the trees near the tees right. are getting affected by the throws, and only on one side.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's on other trees in the area, they're probably all connected through the mycorrhizal fungi network, and they're probably doing just fine as a whole stand. The big thing that affects them, actually, is the compacted soil from everyone walking around. So it kills off all the grass, it compacts the soil a little bit, and it kills off all the other little plants that are growing as an understory component to that forest.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually probably what's causing the most damage to the trees, is just that the lack and the degradation of the soil in that area.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for your question, Hannah. If you have a question about trees, email us at arbitrarypod@gmail.com. You can follow our Instagram at arbitrarypod. That's ArbitraryPod pod. Or you can join the Patreon, patreon.com/arbitrarypod. We have a bunch of cool things happening there, including the Cone of the Month Club, where you get a unique die-cut cone sticker illustrated by an independent artist every single month in the mail with a little info card. It's a lot of fun. It's very cute. And it supports the pod. Case.
Exactly. Alex, if anybody wants to send us a recipe with truffle in it and they are convinced it's going to be delicious...
and cost-effective.
I'll try it.
Yeah, I'll try it.
I'll put it together.
Remember when we told people that we like that you like maple stuff?
Yes!
And we received a box.
A
big box from Canada.
Just to be clear, my top three listeners so far, no offense to everyone else.
Uh-oh. Thank you so much for listening to Completely Arbitrary.
You're all my favorite listeners.
Oh, we doubled back.
Get out of here.
Thanks so much for listening to Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next time.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.
Should have said ciao.
Oh, yeah. Ciao.
Ciao. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.